Talk Radio is a production of Crosswalk Life, Inc. Join Carlotta Waldman for a prophetic worldview, end times news, and live prophetic ministry.
Declare it with me. This is the year of release, of favor, a jubilee year. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us because the Lord has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release the prisoners from darkness, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. We say Jesus Christ is King of Kings. Jehovah God loves us with a perfect love and casts out all our fears. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to equip us. We are your ambassadors. We're your end times witnesses, complete in Christ, lacking nothing. We're Jehovah God's voice, His love, His power to others, and we release Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead, to live through us.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Carlotta Waldman, and I have a very special guest tonight who's going to be talking about some current issues, a very courageous move, in fact. Before we do that, I want to have a protection prayer. Because we didn't do it last week, and I really regretted that, I'm so sorry that we had 5 minutes of echo. I think we figured out what that was, and everything should be fine. Lord, we just thank you, thank you, thank you that you have given us spiritual power and authority. In fact, you are that unlimited spiritual power and authority inside us, and we just want to release you to live your life through us, to speak through us, to minister and serve through us in every way. And we unite together tonight to come against every assignment of the enemy against us, our pets, possession, property, and everything and everybody we care about in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of God Most High. And we say that this is an entirely safe place where we can share, we can call in, we can be real. And we place a hedge of protection and a wall of fire around us that nobody can even astral project over. We say that nothing and nobody and no cosmic force or anything can come against us or the technical aspects of this program or anyone that listens in the archives in the future. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Spirit of wisdom and counsel and understanding and power and might and fear of the Lord. And we ask you to reach inside our hearts and touch what needs a touch, heal what needs heal, set us free from anything that's not you. And we just submit ourselves tonight to hear your voice and to hear any changes that you want to make in our lives or how you would like more permission to live through us. And we say we just want to be wholly given to you. Amen, amen, amen. And you know, I usually try to share some tidbit of news that has some prophetic relevance. And this comment is more or less prophetic because the Bible says in the end times, it'll be like in the days of Noah. Well, that could mean more than one thing. And we know about Nephilim and how some theologians say that they're half fallen angels and half human. But there's another aspect of this that I'm finding out many people don't know about. If you look at our archives back in 2010, I think it was, or if you use my search box on Crosswalk Life and you type in, Crosswalk Talk, if you type in Crosswalk Talk and Tom Horn, H-O-R-N-E, you'll see a fantastic interview. One of his very last radio interviews was with me, and we talked about what hybrids are. So I put a link on my Facebook today to help you get up to speed. If you're not, that our government has been spending our tax dollars for years to breed a race of super soldiers that are half animal and half humans. I think you'll find this very interesting. And so in the last days, it'll be as in the days of Noah, but it's more complicated than you might think. The real arms race is to build super soldier armies, okay? Now, back to the here and now, the things we do understand. Tonight, I have Prophet Jermaine Francis here. He's one of our prophets here that travels for Christian International, and he's going to help us understand, you know, how possible is it to have unity between the races, to heal the racial divide? You know, can we be expressions of Father God's radical love in these kind of chaotic situations? How can both sides of these issues better represent God's unconditional acceptance? So it's a challenge for us all, and I'm so glad he's here. And welcome to the program, Prophet Jermaine Francis.
Thank you. Thank you, Carlotta. I appreciate it very much. I am so glad to be a part of the program and be a part of this discussion here, just to be able to share some things with the audience.
Well, I know you've observed a lot of things as you travel from country to country, et cetera. And I think it's very brave of you to want to tackle this subject, but you have to deal with it all the time. Personally, with having an interracial marriage, for instance. But first of all, how would you describe the racial issues in this nation?
Sure, that's a great question. That's also a very big question. So I would say that the racial issues currently in our nation it has a history. It's been there for generations. And,
right.
You know, for a time, we've kind of seen where we've moved forward as a nation from where we were 60 years ago. But I think in some areas, I would say it kind of took on a different face or really just kind of hit itself differently, where it wasn't maybe outwardly expressed because of, you know, civil rights movement and what was really overcome through that movement. But I would say it's still there to some degree.
It is. Having been just turned 66 myself, I was around during Selma, Alabama, and other times when there was real chaos, and I was around also for good things. I went to school, Jermaine, in New Orleans, where they've got great schools, Xavier and Dillard, in addition to Loyola and others. And in New Orleans, we had very little racial tension, and I really think part of it, just incidentally here, I think part of it was because there was so much opportunity. And one of the faces of racial issues is, you know, denying people opportunity. And so in New Orleans, there was plenty of opportunity. And there's a lot of opportunity for corruption too, but laying that aside, I've seen both sides of this in my lifetime, depending on what part of the country I lived in. But I also saw lots of it in the church. You know, some people say the 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is the most segregated hour of the week. What would you say about the racial division in the church?
Right. I would totally agree with that. I want to read this scripture here, and I think that would kind of bring some clarity to that question. It's Psalms 89, verse number 14, and it says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you." And I believe Bishop Harry Jackson really brought this to light where often the African-American church, you could say, really focused on justice issues because of just the things they're dealing with in their community. And for lack of a better word, the Caucasian church would really focus on righteousness issues. So praying against the ending of abortion, you know, same-sex marriage, is really upholding those things. And I think what really happened a lot in the church is there was a divide where the African-American church may have taken up the justice cause more, and the Caucasian church may have taken up the righteousness cause more. And so I think that divide is what really you can see in the church where, you know, if you go to a Caucasian church, they're going to be praying a lot about abortion issues and those kind of things. And if you go to African-American churches, they're going to say, we need to deal with poverty in our community. And it's really about what impacted them, you know, what's the struggles? Because if they're dealing with, we're struggling with food in our community. You know, we need food. There's violence. Those are the issues that are dominating their community. So they're going to focus on that more, you know. And in the Caucasian church, you know, they're looking at specifically saying we need righteousness in our nation. But I think what has to happen is there has to be a marrying of righteousness and justice. You know, that scripture talks about it's the foundation of the throne. So you need both of them to work together, really, to establish the throne of God within a nation. And I think, you know, that's what I've really observed in church, is that divide between the righteousness and justice focus of each denomination or church, you could say.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, I think a lot of it has to do with fear, too. People have been taught prejudice, and they have taught inequality, and they've had various experiences or heard about experiences that other people have had. And even though, you know, the church that I went to starting 23 years ago was Life Center in Atlanta, which is now 80 or 90% Black. And so I was just used to all the wonderful aspects of having multicultural, you know, aspect in the church. Mm-hmm. And I believe that different nations bring different understandings of who God is, too. Like England understands the majesty, and from Africa, you've got all these great roots of intercession. And so it was a real blessing to me to have all these different roots in one church. Just like at Christian International, we have so many different countries represented. On the other hand, though, as a nurse in those years in the 70s, I had many Black men for patients who were afraid to hardly even talk to me. They were so afraid of being falsely accused. On the other hand, when I was a patient just a few years ago in Tallahassee, I saw how much it had changed, because as a patient, I experienced reverse discrimination. Sure. Because I not only experienced it being the patient, but I experienced it when one of my students, when I was teaching Bible college, suddenly passed away, and I went to an all-Black funeral and nobody would talk to me. And so I'm very interested myself in what your suggestions are. You know, how can we heal from these issues? Because it's no small thing.
Sure. That's very true. And I think one of the key is going to be an understanding. And what I, with the African American community, what one of their biggest things would say is, you know, people don't understand what we've gone through, or they don't understand our struggle. And it's not that many of them, I don't think, are looking for things to be made right or things just to be handed to them. I think many of them just want that feeling of feeling understood and feeling like, okay, at least if you can relate to me and say, I understand what you've gone through, I understand your pain, then I feel like that would kind of really shift their mindset, because they're thinking, you live in a totally different world. Your world is perfect, you know, and you don't understand what we deal with, the struggles that we deal with. So I think the mm-hmm. biggest gap that would have to be bridged is really an understanding gap. So really saying, okay, I understand the pain. I understand what you've gone through. So many of them, I don't think, are really looking for anyone to just come in and fix their problem. I think they just want to feel valued, and their problems and their issues that they're facing are important. And they don't want people to maybe look past it or look over it or not really realize that these are things you're really struggling with. So I think that's one key, is they're just looking for understanding, for someone to kind of say, we see where you are and what you've gone through.
Of course. And I was just thinking of something very, very simple. When people say, well, how do we start? That's a pretty big gap to fill, you know. I would say... maybe just by speaking first, when you see someone, whether at the store, in church, or whatever, just smile, or just speak first, because I have noticed, I know, when people are congenial, or when they're friendly, and when they speak first, and I think, you know, that mm-hmm. person is taking one small step toward filling this gap, you know, by speaking.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest? How can we help fill the gap, Jermaine?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think it has to be on both sides, the willingness to you know, release forgiveness and to really reach across that aisle in a way of saying, you know, we can work together and we understand each other, where each other's coming from. So I think the key would be to really, for both sides, really, to open their heart and just express kindness and express love. Like you just, like, I mean, you made an excellent point, you know, just walking in and just being able to connect with whoever's in front of you with no precepts, or they have to meet these requirements for me to interact with them, you know, just to walk in that place of love continually in our hearts.
Amen. And if the Holy Spirit don't, here's just my counseling point. If the Holy Spirit cautions you not to say, I understand, because that might be, you know, really angry and might say, no, you don't understand. Just say, you can say, I hear you. I feel for you. You know, something to acknowledge the pain, even if you think it might make it worse to say, I understand. Something to acknowledge what someone is feeling or what they are needing or what their struggle is. What would you say the enemy's plan is in all of this?
I would say, and I think that's one thing we have to always remember, is that at the core of these issues, it's the enemy. You know, it's not people against people. It is the powers of darkness stirring up things to really cause us to be at odds with each other. And I think one of the core, well, several things that the enemy is really trying to do through all of the, what he's specifically doing right now, as we've seen all the videos online and what's been going on, is really to bring a divide to our nation once again, and really cause us to be against each other and not seeing the progress that we've come, really cause us to look backwards and really take steps backwards and not move forward. And the other thing I think that the enemy is trying to also do is stir up some fear against authority. You know, as you can see through everything that's been on the news lately, it's kind of like, can we trust the cops or things like that going back and forth? And it's like stirring up that fear against authority. And anyone that has any kind of rage or anything inside of them, I think situations like this can really just stir that up and really cause that whatever's inside of them that's not right to really rise up to a place. Because if there's anything inside that has any kind of racist seed in there, and it might have not had a place really to manifest, you could say, until these issues are really being broadcast on the news, broadcast worldwide. And I think what the enemy's trying to do is activate maybe some of those seeds of racism that might still be in there. Some people that might have been dormant. And I think he's trying to stir that up and bring really some rage up and some maybe anger and bring a division once again to the nation.
Right, right. Do you have more on that? I'd like to hear more on that.
Yeah, it's one of the things I think everyone can identify with injustice, you know, or feeling like every, it doesn't matter who you are. At some point, something happened in your life and you're like, well, that wasn't right. And you kind of wanted to fight, you know? So I think when these issues happen on a national level, it stirs that inside all of us, you know, and especially areas that aren't healed concerning injustice or concerning things that you might feel like you want revenge on or something like that. And I think the enemy kind of tries to push that button nationwide and really stir people up to really rise up to a place of anger. And you can see all the shootings that's been happening and all this craziness that's been happening. I think that's a part of all of this, that the enemy is really just trying to stir those things up to really bring forth rage, to bring forth the spirit of murder, to really bring forth the dividing and the attacking, to bring destruction to this nation. You know, the biggest way you really tear down a nation is not necessarily from the armies coming from inside. It's if we can't unite in the nation, we're basically dividing and tearing the fabric of the nation. So now we're more vulnerable to anything that comes forward.
Okay. Since we're doing great on time, I think I'd like to share something.
Sure.
This was an eye-opener for me. Now, Prophet Jermaine, and I'll tell all the listeners that don't know me, I've been doing restoration prayer ministry full-time for 17 years. Before that, 25 years with mental health. So I have heard a lot of stories, heartbreaking, heart-rending stories from people who've experienced racial injustice. And whether it was between the races or even within a family, I think a lot of white folks don't know that sometimes the blackest member of a family is the one that gets all the abuse, because there's even prejudice within the family. But I have heard some really sad stories about how people have been treated. It's just unbelievable. I mean, way short of lynching them, but everyday life that so many people have to go through, even though they might not be, you know, murdered in this day and time. Mm-hmm. But I want to share something that I think will help people understand where some of this anger comes from. And I'm hoping people on both sides of this issue will understand better. When I was first out of the wilderness and attending Life Center Ministries in Atlanta in 93, the church was about half and half black and white. And that was just such a wonderful thing. It increased all of our understanding to such a great degree. But that was the first day that I met Apostle Jane Hammond, because she came to the church to lead us in a seminar on discernment. And we had a volunteer that none of us knew so that we could practice discerning him. And he was the most clean-cut, friendly, just nice-looking black man you ever saw. And I was brand new to all these activations, and they were saying they wanted us to write down on our piece of paper what we discerned about this gentleman. And I wasn't about to write what I saw, because I was seeing all kinds of perversity and abuse and hatred and all kinds of, sexual abuse, physical abuse, and all this stuff. And I thought, there is no way. There is just no way. But I did think, well, I'm smart enough not to write it down, because if I write it down, they'll have me up front sharing. And sure enough, they had people that had things written down to go up front and share, because this man had come with questions on his mind. He was submitting himself to the discerners. So I found out as they shared that I wasn't wrong, that he really does have all these perverse thoughts and hatred and murder in his mind and all this stuff. Excuse me. But then Apostle Prophet Mary Crum got up and she explained it all to us, because she can prophesy to you, your mama, and your grandmama. Sorry. And she explained that he had come and had asked to be our demo, so to speak, although it was real, because he didn't understand where all these anger issues came from. He didn't hate white people, but why did he think all these thoughts? I'm so sorry. And he really wanted help. He wanted to know, why do I have these continuous thoughts? And she explained it to him and to us. She said, your, it was like grandfather, great-grandfather, was a slave, and they separated him from his family. And every time he tried to run away and get back with his family, because he was a loyal, faithful husband and father, he was beaten and tortured more. And it just developed such a hatred in him. And then, because he judged them, whatever you condemn and judge, you get more of. He became more like them, more abusive, more hateful. Then his children received the transference of those spirits, and their children did. So here's this precious young man just trying to obey and please God, and he's flooded with all these thoughts. And that opened my eyes to have these issues been transferred from generation to generation, because I think the average white person or other cultures might just see these issues that was a long time ago.
Sure.
And it was, but if those demons were transferred down to you, that's right now. And you need healing and deliverance right now to ever get away from all that junk that was transferred to you. And folks, I just want you to know it's real. So don't dismiss what Prophet Jermaine's saying tonight, because a lot of people are feeling things and they don't know why. They feel it so strongly because they want to tell themselves that was a long time ago. Can you let it go and let's move on? But maybe they can't until they get some healing. And it's healing of things that they weren't even present to witness. So they're not that clear. And of course, that's on top of the current injustice. That's on top of the current injustice. And so I want people to know that we have a responsibility to be available to people to pray, to intercede, and to pray for their healing, and even their deliverance, if their scenario is something like the one I've described. So the enemy has been building this up for a long time.
Yeah.
A long time. And a lot of people are so angry, and they don't have a full spiritual understanding of why. They just maybe know the current things they're going through, which is enough. But
sure.
Any comment on that, Prophet Jermaine?
I think you hit the nail on the head. That's really accurate and true. And I think that's kind of one of the things that I was sensing was really what the enemy is doing with all of this is stirring those seeds up, is really trying to stir those seeds up. So even people who don't have a conscious knowledge or conscious understanding of being right. against another race or being against someone, I think they're just feeling these things and things are responding, you know. And I have a lot of people on Facebook that are friends with me that are all kind of races, and it's interesting just to see some of the comments that are coming up, and you're like, you're looking at that person, you're like, I would never expect you to say something like that. But I think they're saying mm-hmm. things that they're not even fully aware why they're responding the way they are. And I think that's definitely a real truth to that, to some of these things that have been in the generation that have been, you know, passed down in the bloodline that really do need to be broken. And the enemy's really playing on those things in this season.
Exactly. And we need to be aware and not stereotype or put everybody in one, you know, scenario, because, for instance, my grandmother was born around the turn of the century. And I remember her describing to me, of course, it was easy for her to say because she was white, but she said, we didn't have problems. We all lived on the same tobacco farm, and we just slept with our windows and screen door, you know, didn't even shut the big door. And I think different mm-hmm. people have different histories in the midst of the same nation and the same, you know, so we just don't know. We need the discernment of the Holy Spirit to know what people need, what kind of healing they need, what kind of freedom they need, and be very, very sensitive, because they may not even know.
mm-hmm.
What would
sure,
you say
sure.
the church's role is in all this?
So I think this is where the church really has the opportunity to shine and to really bring forth answers. And I think the key is really just radical love and unity. And, you know, we look at the world, and the truth is we can't look at the world and expect them to give us anything other than what they're giving us, because they don't have love. They don't have unity. You know, the church has that. You
okay.
know, we have that through Jesus. So we have to be the greatest example on the earth, I think, of true love and true unity. And I think that, you know, the world really has perverted the word love and, you know, translated into tolerance and accepting everything and everyone and all kinds of craziness. But, you know, with when the church really can rise up and demonstrate that love, that in the face of injustice, we're willing to run with arms that are wide open to those that are rejecting us or those that are yelling at us and pushing us away. And because that is supernatural, you know, in any human person, you know, once you hit some kind of rejection or you hit something where you're not desired or wanted, you know, your natural reaction is to really close down or to back away and to really pull back. So it's supernatural really to continue to run with open arms to something that's really rejecting you or pushing you away. And I think when we can really right. demonstrate that, it'll really open the eyes of those like, wait, how can you keep loving me when I'm doing this or, you know, when we're pushing you away? And I think that'll speak volumes to the world when they can see the church rise up in these areas of love and unity and really showing God's heart of his unconditional love in a way that brings the transformation.
Very good, very good. And it's been a pleasure for me to watch you and Rebecca demonstrate some of that and how comfortable you are and how comfortable you are to be around. Mm-hmm. It's just great. Any other ideas?
You know, I would say, let me give this quick example is, you know, after everything that we've seen happen, you know, those videos of people getting shot by the cops and all that stuff happened. You know, I watched a couple of those videos and they really kind of cut me to the core. They were like, oh my gosh, this is real injustice. This is, you know, and I got teary eyed and I wept, and, you know, I had a flash of emotions kind of go through me, and I was angry and I was upset, and at the same time, and I was fearful and I was scared, you know, I just kind of went through this gamut of emotions. And, you know, I kind of prayed about it and really kind of processed through some of that. But then it was a couple of days later that I was out in town. Rebecca was running in here and I was waiting on her, and I was sitting outside. And I saw this cop car just kind of pull up kind of right by where I was. And inside immediately, I kind of had a little twinge, a little knee-jerk reaction. And immediately I just felt this fear kind of rise up inside of me, like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And in that moment, I realized this has never been my thought process. I've never looked at cops with that kind of feeling of what could happen. You know, are they going to mistreat me? You know, something bad, could this be a bad situation? I've never had those kind of thoughts ever. And I think because of everything that happened and that was really released across the airwaves, it was also throwing those seeds of fear out there and throwing those seeds of really separation and division and, you know, resisting one another. And in that moment, I had to really make a conscious decision. I said, this is not me. This is not how I operate. These are not my thoughts. And I had to reject that thought in that moment. And once I reject it, immediately the fear left and those feelings left and they weren't there anymore. But what the enemy did was he kind of threw those fears out there. He kind of just cast those seeds out there. And I think that's what's happening a lot throughout the nation right now, is the seeds are being cast out there. And I think some people are receiving them. But the key is we have to reject them and not let them become a part of us, and not to let them become a part of our life, but really reject them. I think that's one key that we can individually begin to walk in.
Amen. Amen. That's always the case. I tell people that rejection is like a hard ball somebody can throw at you, but you don't have to catch it. You can let it fall to the ground.
True.
You can let rejection be their problem. And, you know, it's going to hurt if you catch it. And it hurts a little bit if you don't. But you don't have to catch it. You don't have to receive it. You don't have to say, that's who I am. Or even believe that's who they are. You can try to refocus, like if they're another Christian, on Christ in them. You just say, I love you, man. You know, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's amazing, if you don't catch the dart that the devil uses, you know, somebody to throw at you, sometimes you can reset the atmosphere by just going, what? Hi. Good to see you.
Sure.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
It may sound simplistic, but sometimes you can nip it in the bud that way, and they'll realize, you know, I'm not rejecting you. How you doing? We're cool, right?
yeah.
What challenges do you have being married to a white person?
I would say the only challenges I've had with that is the challenges that other people would bring to me, where, you know, like, to me, it doesn't cross my mind once. Like, it's not in my mind. To me, Rebecca is who she is, and I love her. And, like, her color doesn't even enter my mind at all. But it's when other people, they come around and, you know, they'll bring it up and they'll say, oh, wow, how did you overcome to really do this? And, you know, I was like, well, I didn't really have to overcome anything, because it wasn't an issue inside of me. But I can see where others would come around and, you know, they would look at the situation and they would put their input and they would say things and they would ask things. How does that work? And so the challenge really is not internal, but it's what people try to really put around who don't understand or who might seem to say, like, how does this kind of work? I don't really understand, because it's outside of their understanding. But I think once they see us together and they see us interact, it kind of really deflates even maybe some of the previous thinking they have, and maybe shift some of their mindsets and really just say, okay, this is okay. This is just normal people, you know, and it's not weird. It's not different. It's just people loving each other. And I think that alone, you know, brings difference and kind of shifts people's perspective around us.
Kind of what I thought you would say, because I anticipated you to describe how not everybody hopefully not anybody at our church, but how some people in the community would have a hard time with that and might criticize you. And I'm not sure why they feel that way, but I did anticipate you feeling some pressure from people.
And I think, you know, some people might just be speaking because they don't understand, and they might be concerned for us. They might think this might be a problem, you know, and they might feel in some ways like they want to help or they want to give us our support or anything like that, which we appreciate. But in one sense, I think the more you highlight the issue, you almost kind of make it an issue. You know, if it was never a problem before, now that you're like focusing on it or highlighting it, you're kind of like making it more of something that it's not.
Okay. All right. Well, how can we make a difference? You know, we've got this program going on, and I think what people are really listening for is, you know, well, you know, before we even get there, I'm going to bring up something that's not on our list. My personal opinion, you may or may not respond, but I really believe, like you said, somebody is stirring up the seeds and the enemy's behind it. But I believe there are some powers that be that are, this is my personal opinion, but are for the New World Order, and they want to weaken the fabric of the nation. And they want to do it in many ways, whether it's economically, you know, whether it's through Common Core, you know, they've got so many ways, feeding us salty and fat and sugary food. There's just, people would not believe if you really read the objectives of the New World Order to tear this nation apart. There are really, literally, all kinds of things on it like that, but certainly to cause chaos where none even was last, you know, decade. Now, I'm not denying that the issues were not all resolved, but it seems to me the powers that be that want to tear this nation down are really magnifying weak places and causing us to go back, trying to cause us to go backwards. Does that make any sense?
No, that does make perfect sense. And I would agree with that. And you know, it's kind of the strategy of anyone who wants to take something down. You know, you look for the pressure points. You look for something that can really become volatile. You know, you look for the weak places. You know, if you're going to take a building down, you know, you try to look for maybe some areas that are weak that could easily bring a domino effect, you know, really take the whole thing down. So I think I do agree with that. And I think that's very true, you know, and that's why I think really the church is probably the biggest force that could really resist these things, you know, in us rising up and really counteracting what, you know, the enemy would try to use these people really to push forward in these agendas.
Amen. So my answer would be that, of course, being the light in darkness is always our call, and that we need to focus more on what Jesus can do through us in a situation then focus on problems and that kind of thing. And I believe we need to not focus so much on the big picture that I just described, but remember, there's a bigger agenda here for some people. Some people just want to tear this nation apart, and they're trying to dissemble all kinds of things, you know, whether it's the value of the dollar or the military or whatever. And they're doing it on purpose because they're for the New World Order and all. And so what can we as an individual do? Well, we keep sharing Christ. We keep being Christ loved to others. We keep demonstrating the real thing so people won't fall for some artificial appreciation that they get from somebody that's trying to, you know, stir up, set off bombs in the neighborhood. Literally, you know, that we will begin to be one nation under God again and look back to God. What would you say we can do to make a difference? Any other comments on that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think the key would be really is to love whoever's standing in front of you and whoever they are, whatever they look like, whatever's going on, you know, to really just have that mindset. You know, we can't, sometimes we get such a big picture focus that we miss just the simple and just who's in front of us. You know, if you're just in your community, whoever's okay. in front of you, you know, share the love of God with them and just really be kind and express that love and kindness to them. And I found that for me, that's really opened people's hearts more than anything else, is really if you just show kindness to them. So, you know, I think that's one thing that I'm trying to live by more, is just whoever's in front of me, really just give them my attention, listen to them, value them, and really show them love. And I see that transforming people in a greater way.
Now, I hope you all heard what Prophet Jermaine just said. Listen to them, value them, and show them love. You know, most of us really don't expect other people to rewrite our history or the national history, you know. We just would like to be heard, and we'd like mm-hmm. to be heard. And we don't want to be blamed for what other people did, but we just want to be heard and not stereotyped. And I'm telling you all, the stories that I hear are so heartbreaking of what people go through because of prejudice, because of discrimination, because of even prejudice within their own family. You know, I can't even get on the subject. It's just so sad what people are going through. Mm-hmm. So for those of you that think that was all a long time ago, I have to say no, it wasn't all a long time ago. There's a whole lot of abuse and hatred and discrimination and segregation and all still going on. On the other hand, I don't want to emphasize the negative. I want to say we need to focus on releasing Christ to love through us in creative ways, for instance, you know, and acts of kindness, like Jermaine said, and all these things. And I believe that if we, you know, ask the Lord occasionally, you know, if we say, you know, I don't want to forget this, show me, Lord, how you want to do cross-cultural service or ministry or acts of kindness through me, and make that your prayer. Lord, I'm available. Show me how you want me to sow little seeds of kindness, or Jesus, it's really you doing it through me. How do you want to cross these cultural barriers through me? And it doesn't have to be, you know, statewide, like he says. The person in front of you is a good place to start. A good place to start. What about the next generation, Jermaine? What occurs to you about them?
I think the key is really we have to teach them, you know, this love and how to live like this, because I think what they're seeing right now and what's being played out in our nation right now is maybe teaching them something that they weren't even aware of, or teaching them something that they didn't even know. And I think our responsibility is really to counteract what the enemy is really trying to implant into them at this season, and teach them how to love, and teach them how to walk in demonstrating God's love and who God is, to shift them so that, you know, when acts of injustice happen, because the truth is acts of injustice will continue to happen.
Right.
But teach them in the face of injustice that you rise up with justice, that you rise up with righteousness, and that you run into those situations and become God's hands and feet, and brings forth an answer to solutions, instead of, you know, running away from it or not being sure. So I think the key right now is to really equip the next generation with the tools they need to face injustice and to really be able to deal with it.
Wow, are you prepared to help me understand what you just said? What does that look like?
And I think it's the key is almost like doing the reverse of what has been happening within our nation within the last, you know, 30, 40 years, especially in our education system, where, you know, it's been really been indoctrinated in a lot of Marxist philosophy, a lot of, you know, communist and socialistic ideologies really coming through. And so what happens, I think, is currently my current generation, which we call the millennials, I think we have a mindset of seeing the church is irrelevant or not having any answers or not having any solutions to the issues. So they rise up in social justice causes and they kind of move forward in that direction. So, but I think if we can educate the next generation now and prepare them to rise up with godly solutions and godly answers, they won't run to these other systems of philosophies to try to answer these issues, which really, you know, come from a demonic structure. So that's why I think it's our responsibility now to really educate the next generation, impart to them, so that when they're facing these issues, they'll stand with biblical principles, biblical understanding to answer these crises and these issues.
Woohoo! Okay, I'm still trying to picture it. So say you've got a little task force in your church that wants to make a difference. What would you suggest? Where do they start, or what do they do?
Great question. And I think it really has to do with individual communities. You know, I think the key is to find the needs that are in your specific community. Whatever those issues are, whatever the biggest burden is. I mean, if you don't know, if you're not fully aware of what the issues are, you know, maybe go to some city council meetings, you know, and even go have a meeting with the mayor. Talk to those that are really leading or governing in the community and find out what the biggest needs are. And then as a church body, really pray and get some strategy on how to deal with those things. And then you can really rise up with the answer to the community. You know, I heard one pastor say, you know, if our church closed down and we left this community, you know, would they miss us? You know, would they even know we were gone? You know, are we even making an impact that the community can say, well, we need this church to be here? And I think that's one of the keys, is that we have to really take our place of authority and really bring impact to our region and to our areas. And Ed Savoso, he's a minister, for those of you who don't know, but he has a program that he calls Adopt a Cop and Adopt a Block. And so what happens is the church takes a block in their community and they you know, say, we're going to pray for this one block. We're going to walk the block, we're going to pray, and whatever necessarily cop may patrol that block, they say, we adopt that cop. So they say, we'll meet with the cop, we'll pray with him, we'll pray for his family, we'll find out what needs he has, we'll serve that cop because he's serving our community. And really partner with the authorities, partner with the police force, partner with those that are in authority to let them see, oh, wow, you want to help. Your desire is to help our community. Your desire is to impact our community. And so they'll be more likely to give you what you need and help you to bring it to bring impact. And so that, you know, that's just one idea. But I think the key is to find out whatever the needs are in your community and then pray and really ask God to give you the strategy that is needed to bring it impact. And I think that really God's heart for the church in this season is for the church really to rise up and to take authority and to know that God's really anointed the church and called the church to bring impact into this world. And for so long, I think the church has been afraid of bringing impact because they're thinking, well, we can't do it. We don't know what to do. And we, you know, we've divided a lot with spiritual things and natural things. You know, the whole dichotomy and the duology that's happened in the church with, well, you know, we're just going to pray, we're just going to hang on until Jesus comes, opposed to saying, no, right, we're going to demonstrate Jesus until he comes, you know, and represent him the best we can till he comes. You know, Jesus fed the multitudes. He cared about people's needs. And I think sometimes we may care more about their souls than we might care about their natural needs. But you can't witness to them if they're starving to death. You know, they're not going to listen to you. So if you can feed them, then they're more likely to listen to you. Then they can receive salvation. So I think we have to really find what the needs are and be able to reach out and meet those needs.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to paint a picture for those that need to picture a different side of this. Those are the best ideas I've heard in a long time. A different idea is, I was trying to think if it was New Jersey or Maryland or whoever, one of our Christian International ministers years ago got some of his members to agree that they would pray for the bad district in town, you know, where all the strip clubs and gambling and everything was. Mm-hmm. And then they started going in, and they didn't riot or march or anything. They would just quietly sit in the casinos and pray silently. And bars and different things, they would just quietly, it's just bringing the presence of Christ inside. And then opportunities started to open up to share Christ with some of the owners of those buildings. Come to find out, one man owned several of them. He received Christ and shut his down. Then the whole street was shut down. Now that street is, and for several years now, that street is a beautiful park. So that's more about geographical, but, you know, certain people groups may have been blamed, you know, for what goes on in that side of town. And they didn't lift a finger. They didn't argue with anybody. They would just go in and sit and pray silently. And it changed the whole street. I like the random acts of kindness. I like the, you know, asking Jesus, you know, show me someone that I can sow a seed of love into today. I think we can all relate to that, even if we can't see ourselves sitting in the drug district, you know, downtown. But we can ask God, how do you want to love other cultures through me? Just show me how. I'm available. I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so true.
Would you pray for our listeners, Jermaine?
Yes, definitely. So, Father, right now, we just thank you for everyone that's listening, those listening now, and those that will listen to the archive in the future. And, Lord, we just declare, let there just be a touch of your Spirit right now to every heart, Father, that you're calling each one of us really to represent you in a greater way. So, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, for just keys, that you would release keys to every person, Father, that would help us to begin to impact those around us and to love those around us. Lord, we ask for a greater release of your love in our hearts, a greater demonstration of your love to be released within our hearts, Father, that we can be a demonstration of your heart. Lord, give us love that we don't possess in ourselves. Give us the ability to love those that are hard to love. Give us the ability really to reach out in a way that brings impact. And Lord, we just ask even for divine appointments right now, that you would plan our schedules, you would order our steps, and you would bring forth those divine appointments that we can be a demonstration of your heart and bring in an impact to. So, Lord, we just agree for your purposes now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're about to have a worship song where, you know, those of you that want to just kick back and worship right now can. If you need really badly to take a break, you can. I don't have a song that really fits this subject. I wanted to play the song on Tearing Down Dividing Walls that came out about 20 years ago, but I couldn't find that on MP3. So I'm just going to play I Just Want You. And we, as a reminder to us that everybody has a God-shaped vacuum inside them. Everybody wants to be loved and appreciated. Everybody wants to know that God's not mad at them and that he really does love them. And so whether you listen to this song because you want to know Jesus Christ more intimately, or whether you're listening to intercede for someone else, and to be sensitive to hear the cry of their heart of what they need, and that to realize that Jesus has what everybody wants, whether they know it or not. So we're going to be back in about 5 minutes, and I hope that you'll invite people to call in at 917-388-4683. They just push that number one, and they can participate. They can ask questions, make comments, or ask for prophetic ministry on the air. I know you all be so glad to hear Prophet Jermaine minister as well. So just join us. It's Vicky Yo. He's saying, Yo, I just want you. okay, I'm not sure this is working. You know, that when the thing just spins and it doesn't work. Lord, have mercy. Wish we had a techie person here that could tell me how to make it stop now that it's spinning. Because if I turn on another song, will they both be... Can you all hear... Jermaine, can you hear this song?
No, I don't hear anything yet.
I can't... Okay, so I don't know how to undo that. All right. Okay, I'm going to see and hope that if I push another one, it will turn the first one on. Now they're both spinning. How can this be? Never had this happen before. Tell you what, Jermaine, if you need to take a break, you can.
Okay.
I'm stuck here. I'm just going to tell our listeners more about our website. So those of you that feel a call and want to be more of an expression of Christ and want to know how to minister more effectively, I want to encourage you to go to www.nowfaith.tv and look at our ministry training school. We've got a 4-year ministry training school with videos and audios of each class. Some are audios, some videos. We have printable handouts, printable prayers, and you can have... Now I hear a very strange noise. Okay, Lord, help us. You can have a ministry training school right at your house. You don't have to have money. It's absolutely free. You don't have to be able to go anywhere. We thank you, Lord. I just figured out maybe I could turn the sound all the way down. Okay, so we just thank you, Lord, for those that are called, those that you want to train that can do distance learning. I thank you even for people overseas that can access this with their cell phones because there's audios. And I thank you for those that will actually begin to correspond with me after each class that we can have mentoring going on. And that all of the classes have something to do with hands-on ministry. It's not just academic learning, and that they can actually learn to minister more effectively. Now, if reading is more your thing, then you can go to crosswalklife.com. And there we have about 200 articles. And it's just like a huge library of articles that are mostly related to healing. And knowing me, you know, a lot of them are on deeper aspects of healing. None of them just say, please forget the past, just get over it. You know, it's all about how to pray for people who need healing. And you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out that a whole lot of them bring healing into your life because the Holy Spirit is just in love with each one of us. He wants us to be healed. I also post nuggets on Facebook, at least one nugget, and other articles of interest about health and healing on Facebook each day under Carlotta Waldman. And you can find Jermaine's Facebook and invite him to be your friend. That's Jermaine, J-E-R-M-A-I-N-E, Francis with an I. And you can find his lovely wife, Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A, Rebecca Francis. And so I hope that you will connect with us because we are all about teaching and training the body of Christ. We want to see people equipped. We want to see them to know how to walk in their, not only their calling, but in their gifting, and to be able to teach others also. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Jermaine, did you want to share your contact information?
Yes, you can go to our website is jermaineandrebecca.com, and I'll spell that for you just in case, J-E-R-M-A-I-N-E and A-N-D, and then Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A.com. That's our website. And then you can find us also on Facebook. Just type our names in, Rebecca Jermaine Francis.
Amen. Two separate pages there as well. So we just thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you for, you know, I've been encouraged to watch them even before we moved back to CI. I was seeing them on the internet and just see them grow and go and grow and go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I just want to encourage callers to call in and request prophetic ministry. You can also make a comment or you can ask a question. We don't want you to take over the whole program, but we want to hear from you. You know, we want to hear different sides of this issue, and we want to hear what God is placing on your heart, what your questions are, or if you just like prophetic ministry on the program, live on the air, just let us know. The number is 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. You can even text your friends and or message them and tell them, you know, click the player on Carlotta Waldman's site. The program's live on the air. Okay, so we have some callers. What I'm going to do is, here we go. I'm just going to call out your area code and ask you to share your first name and your city, if you would, so that we will know who we're talking to. I'm going to encourage our other listeners to ask God for a little practice and activation. Our other listeners can ask God for a word for you too. And even though they don't get to share it, they can see if it's also a compliment to the words that Jermaine and I give, because you know, we all only prophesy in part, amen? So,
yeah.
Oh, this one's spinning too. We really need to pray to cancel every assignment of the enemy against this studio. Okay, hopefully this will work anyway. Area code 832, welcome to the program. Not unmuting her. Lord have mercy. I have never had this happen before. Now, what I'm going to have to attempt to do, maybe Jermaine, maybe you could make another point on this. I'm going to attempt, I have to open up a different studio, and that'll take me a couple of minutes, and hopefully that one will be the same thing but working. So you could go ahead and maybe share another point while I do that.
Sure. I think also one of a key point would be to run into situations that are difficult. And what I mean by that is sometimes we see something that's hard or we see something that's difficult or uncomfortable, and oftentimes it's easier to pull away from it and not really head towards it. And I'll give you a quick little story about myself. And I grew up in New York City. I grew up in the Bronx. And I went to a high school that had metal detectors and was a little bit dangerous, you know, in some areas of the school. But a lot of the mindset of many of the kids in the school was, you know, as soon as we're done here, we're going to try to leave this area immediately. We're going to, like, you know, move away and go somewhere that's a better place and go to a better environment. And, you know, I understand what they're saying, and that's a good thing to do is really to get into a better place where you can probably grow and develop. But what I noticed happened is a lot of the ones who are exceptional, really, that begin to shine, you know, they get opportunities and they move away. But, you know, no one really comes back to that area, you know, I've noticed. So, you know, it's kind of like, if the light keeps leaving an area, it's only going to get darker. And so I think one key is for us to not be afraid of darkness and not be afraid of things that look difficult or look dark, but to really have a mindset of I'm the light and I can make a difference. And I think once we really can have that mindset on a lot of these issues, we can really rise up in a place of faith and rise up in a place of authority to really deal with these issues instead of running away from them. Because us running away from them is not really helping the situation. It's only making it worse or continuing to keep it in place. So I think a key is to really realize that we have authority and we can make a difference. So when we see these difficult situations on a national level or even just a local level or personal level, is to really run into them with faith and knowing that God can make a difference through us if we give him the opportunity to. And oftentimes, you know, if we're pulling away from these opportunities, we're not giving God a vessel to use to make an impact and make transformation really take place within regions, within territories, and, you know, between communities and people groups. So I think the key is to really walk in a place of faith and not in a place of fear. The enemy will try to get us in a place of fear. And most of our response, you know, there's the fight or flight response when you run into something that's dangerous. And that's kind of the really two human response. My natural response is flight. I'm always like, I'm out of here when something kind of heightens. But I think the key is to really run into it, to really bring a difference or bring impact into areas that we can make a difference in.
That was great. That was great. Yeah. Now I have even more things spinning, so I have a choice.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
We could talk for another hour. But another thing that I can do, because I know if I hang up the phone, the program is over. But I could try something I've never had to try before. I could close the studio that I'm looking at on the internet and try to open it back up real quick. I would not try that on Internet Explorer. I know that's probably not going to work. But I just want to, just in case it doesn't work, I want to thank Jermaine for being with us. Thank all you callers for being with us and encourage you to go to our website and just feast, you know, feast and to contact us and let us pray for you and help you and all. But I'm going to hit the X now and try to open up a new studio without hanging up and hope it works. So y'all just pray, pray. And if it doesn't work, we're going to thank God anyway, and I'll see you next week.
Amen.
I still hear you. This is a good sign. Now I'm trying to get Firefox to open up. It's already running. It thinks it's still open. Oh my gosh. Don't tell me it's going to be impossible to close it. I'm supposed to have Chrome and I already...
So you had one caller that was already in queue and we had their area code, is that correct?
Yeah.
Well, I can go ahead and prophesy to that person by, you know, just
even though we don't know the name.
Area code. Even though we don't know the name, we can just step out. So I can do that while you're working on that if you want to do that.
Okay, go for it.
Sure. What was the area code again?
I don't know now.
Okay.
I just
okay.
closed it all.
Okay, that's all right. Well, I'll go ahead and just minister to that person. I believe it started with an A, I think was the area code. But what I just feel for that individual is I just sense God saying that he's really taking you into a new season, a season where he's peeling away some of the things that have happened to you and things where the enemy has tried to almost put you in a box and limit your potential in some areas. But I sense that God is really breaking down those walls and breaking down those limitations and causing you to come into a new place of possibility, a new place of breakthrough, a new place of really seeing what God can do in you and through you. And I sense God's really just stirring up new faith inside of you and really building that faith inside of you for you to really understand what God can do in and through you. So God's really bringing down all the limitations and breaking off all the things that has almost kind of held you back. And God's really setting you free now to move forward into this new season, into this new place.
And we had another caller whose area code I can't tell you.
Okay.
I'm actually doing things like going to the computer task manager and trying to force, you know, Firefox to slow down, close down. That's all I know to do, because it wouldn't even let me close it. Go ahead for the second caller if you can.
Okay. All right, so the second caller, I just sense that God's really almost kind of giving you like an oil change in the spirit, where he's kind of draining out like almost like you've gone a long way and you've been tired for a while, but God's kind of bringing forth a refreshing. God's also bringing forth just a new stirring inside of you, and almost just kind of refiring you and preparing you to kind of move forward again. You've kind of gone through a season where your faith was challenged, where some things really challenged what you believed and what you thought, but God's really shifting you into a place of breakthrough, into a place of life, and he's bringing fresh life into you, and he's bringing fresh joy into you. Amen.
Amen. Well, I have a little bit of hope here. I know somebody's praying, because at least I have a tab open.
Amen.
It doesn't want me to do anything with it. Oh, now it's opening 10 of them. We cancel every assignment of the enemy against us.
Yeah.
Jesus' name. I've never had this happen before. It's saying virtual keyboard KAV may be busy or may have stopped responding. You can stop the plugin now, or you can continue to see if the plugin will complete. Got about 10 of those. Can't make anything close. I could get one of them to connect. Well, can you tell this is a hot issue and the devil doesn't like it?
Yes, all right. I agree.
If it would let me type in an address, I could get started. It seems like all I can get out of the computer is the circles turning on everything I do. I'll check this one last one. Okay, well, there's no use in keeping everybody all night, because it's just continuing to do the same thing no matter what I do. All right.
Okay.
This week I will learn more about this. Thank you again, Jermaine, for being with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh. Somebody's praying. Hold on. Blame me type. More circles. Okay, if I hadn't been at this so many years, I'd be so embarrassed I would have quit 5 minutes ago, but I'd try. Thank you for being with us. We will hope that everyone joins us again next week. And believe me, Blog Talk Radio will be hearing about this. And I'll get someone to check my computer to see if it's a problem on my end. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's listening. Thank you for the difference that will be made when each of us just turns to the Lord and says, Lord, I want to make a difference cross-culturally. Whatever that cultural issue may be, that racial issue, that wall of division, Lord, use me to tear down the dividing walls and to bring unity, to be an expression of your love, to be an expression of your heart, your kindness, your service. And just, you know, one little seed at a time to begin to sow seeds of your love and acceptance, Lord. And we just thank you. Just bless everyone that toughed this out with us. Bless Jermaine and Rebecca. And we thank you, Lord, that you came to live in and through us. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just going to hang up because I can't even access anything else. We love you.
Thank you for having me. Yes. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Good night.
Bless you.